Bible. I am
what it says I am.
Now say, I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, we started a brand new series on Sunday morning entitled Grace to Reign in Life. Grace to Reign in Life. Go with me to Romans, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse. Romans, the 5th chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, I'm going to jump right into it because I have a lot to share in a little bit of time. I'll do a little bit of review from Sunday, and then we'll get into new information. Romans, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse says, therefore, being justified, how, class? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, watch this, of the glory of God. And so we said that we wanted to follow up with my man of God coming on last week and beginning to teach on grace and favor. And I wanted to get a little bit deeper and give you a little bit more of an extensive understanding on grace and favor. I'm going to ask him to put my definition for grace up. And grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is the unearned provision of God and unrestricted power of God made available to man to bring victory in life situations. Everybody say, I'm grace for this. And we said on Sunday that there is a grace that will come on our lives for no matter what the situation, because we remember we learned that grace was many-sided. It was multifaceted. So if I'm going through something, you know, in my finances, there's a grace on me to help me with that. If I'm going through something in my marriage, there's a grace to help me with that. If God's given me a specific assignment in life, there's a grace on me for that. No matter what I'm going through, that there's a grace on my life for help me overcome every obstacle so I can be victorious in life. And it's the will of God for you to be victorious in life. And so that's why we said that anytime a situation arises in your life, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is going to determine how long you're going to be in that situation. And that is why it's so vitally important that we only say what the Word of God says. We only say, you know, positive, faith-filled words. We don't say, oh, my God, I don't know how in the world I'm going to make that. How many know we don't talk like that? You got it? We walk by and not by. So we're not moved by what we see, only by what we believe, and we believe the word of God. And so therefore, we have a discipline that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, that if we keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, that we are going to see the word manifest in our lives. And so we said that grace is the goodness, it's God's goodness towards us. It's a free gift, but yet I must be in position to receive the gift. Remember, I said illustration only. I said the first person that gets on stage to me, I will give you free $500. Well, what would everybody do? They'd run to the... So even though it's a free gift, you still have to be in position to receive it because you have to be right up here with me. It's the same way that we see in the Word of God. And so we said over the course of this series, there are three points that we're going to pull from. We're going to pull a lot of information. I was thinking I was going to do three lessons, but the more I looked into it today, I'm probably going to do four or five different lessons on grace because it's multifaceted. There's so much to share. But there's three simple points throughout the lesson. The first one that we talked about Sunday is grace is critical to your potential. The second one is grace is confirmed through partnership. And then the third one is grace is conveyed through persistence. Another word for persistence is faithfulness. And so grace is critical to your potential. And we said to reach your full potential. Everybody say, he's still reviewing. All right, we said to reach your full potential as a believer, you must have a revelation on grace. You have to have a revelation on grace. Because if you don't have a revelation on grace and understand that God, watch this now, hear me when I say this, is good to us even sometime when we're not good to him. You got it. That he loves us in spite of and through certain situations that we go through in life, that his grace is there to help us through situations. And it's important to know that, because as a believer, if you don't know that his grace is sufficient, if you don't know that a brand new day brings brand new mercies, the enemy will try to hold you back and keep you in condemnation over something that you did 5 years ago and already repented for and ain't even caught up in that anymore. Because the Bible says that if our heart condemns us, we don't have any confidence or any faith toward God. And so that is why you have to have a revelation on grace. And to the degree that you have a revelation on grace, you will reach your full potential. Why? Because your heart will be open to know that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, that His grace is sufficient, that there is a grace that is on me for whatever season of life that I am, not for me just to get through it, but to overcome it and to be victorious in life. Give the Lord a big hand praise. All right, and so so go with me to Romans 5 and 17. Romans 5 and 17. All right, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And so we understand that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We understand that Jesus has already done everything He needs to do. When He said it was finished, it was already finished. You got it? In the redemptive work of Christ, we know that salvation was made for us. We know that healing was made for us. We know that provision was made for us. We know that He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Anything that I will ever need, number one, God already knew, because He's omniscient. Isn't that right? So he knows your thought before you think it. So certainly anything, He already knew that I would need things along the way, and He's already provided them for me. Everything that I will ever need is already made in heavenly places. And so the thing is understanding grace and learning faith so I can get them to go from a spiritual realm and manifest into a natural realm so it can help me fulfill the will of God for my life. Does that make sense? All right, I think that is a good, amen, if you're going to give me a clap, give me a good one, amen? All right, okay, so, okay, last thing to review, because I'm so excited about this new information. We said four things to understand about grace on Sunday. We said that it was multifaceted. We said that it can be multiplied. We said that it's available to every believer. And we said that grace is the ability to function beyond my normal training. You know, you didn't go to school for business and all of a sudden God gives you one. Well, not only does He give you the business, but He gives you the grace to run the business efficiently so that way it can bring provision into your life to take care of your family and for you to be able to support the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? God allows you to walk into a door that you need a degree for. You don't have a degree. Well, not only does He give you the ability to walk through that door, but He also puts a grace on you that as you walk through that door, He will raise up people to train you. You got it? And stuff that you didn't know, you will know. You got it? And so that is why when you walk into a situation like this, in days it might seem like it's tough, and days it might seem like it's a little frustrating, but you don't let those things come out of your mouth. You say, I am grace for this. You got it? I'm grace for this job. I'm grace for this marriage. I'm grace for these children. I'm grace for every season of life. Even though it seems like it's taking a while, it's okay. I want the devil to know, if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. So I'm in it for the long haul. No matter what comes or no matter what goes, when I'm in a faith fight, I let the devil know I'm in it for the long haul. You got it. I believe I receive right now. But if 6 months goes by and it don't show up, I still believe God. If a year go by and it doesn't show up, I still believe God. If 18 months go by and it hasn't showed up, I still believe God, because His word is the final authority in my life. And if I keep believing it and I keep saying it, it has to manifest in my life. All right, so now, y'all in the back, I'm going to flip it on y'all a little bit. I want to talk about five ways to scripturally access the grace of God. I want to talk to you about five ways to scripturally access the grace of God. Number one, the way we can access this grace that we talked about in the book of Romans when we opened up is through prayer. Everybody say through prayer. That is one way that we can access this grace. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. Go with me there. So there are five ways that we can scripturally access this grace. And, of course, you know Pastor wouldn't give you a point without giving you a reference. Isn't that right? And so Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find" what class? "Grace to help in time of need." So anytime I need God to do something, anytime I need help, anytime I need grace, the Bible says that I am to boldly go before the throne. So when something's going on in my life, you got it, I don't have to put my head down and, you know, go to God like I'm not sure if he's going to help me, because that's not the way God wants me to go. All right? How many of you all have children? Right? Okay. And so at some point, even if your children are a little bit older, at some point they were young. You got it? And especially when they were young, if you remember, they came to you boldly about anything that they wanted. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so, they find out that the fair's in town. Daddy, I want to go to the fair. Can we go to the fair? Okay, we get to the fair. You're not at the fair 5 minutes. Daddy, can I have some cotton candy? Okay, they get the candy. Mommy, can I have some ice cream? You know, he says, okay, now hold on, you just have some cotton candy. You know, they don't care about that. They are coming boldly. They know that mama and daddy can provide, because mom and daddy has proven that they have provided along the way. Well, if mama and daddy, who are just mere mortals, can provide, how much more than the infinite, eternal, omniscient, everlasting God is able to provide for us? And he doesn't want us to come with our head down. He wants us to come with our head up and say, Father, I need you to do this. I need you to show up and show up. And he gladly does it, because he's a good father and he gives good gifts to his children. Isn't that right? And so that's why the writer says, you have to, when there's a situation in Mark 11, and when there's a situation going on in your life and it's not the way it's supposed to be, he said, don't you put your head down. He said, you speak to that mountain and you command that mountain to move. And so he says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Whosoever shall say, so I got to open my mouth and I've got to speak to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Here's the important part. And shall not doubt where? In his heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he's going to have whatsoever he saith. So when I come to the throne, I got to come boldly. When I confess the word of God, I've got to confess boldly. Now let's pick it up 4 and 16 in the Amplified. Hebrews 4 and 16 in the Amplified. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming, watch this, just when we need it. Amen. And I don't know about you, thank you, but I believe that God will always show up when I need him to. I believe that he will always show up when I need him to. And you have to have faith that God will always show up when you need him to. You got it? Because watch this, he's always there. Isn't that right? Okay, now I don't want y'all to get upset with me. But there was a song that you might have heard a long time ago. And if you sing it, I'm not knocking you. I just want to bring some clarity to the song. Because y'all know any song, it has to be faith-filled. You got it? But there's a song that used to say, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on time. And see, the issue I have with that song is that you said that he may not be there as if God is coming or going. But the Bible said that he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is ever present. So God is always present. You got it? And so my thing is, I don't say he may not be there when I want him to. God is always there when I need him. The moment I call on my Father, he's there right there. Because he's not with me sometime. He's with me all the time. Is that good? All right. So number one, through prayer. Number two, y'all get anything out of this?
Yes.
Through humility. Ooh, this is key. Ooh, through humility. James, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse. James, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse. He says, but he giveth what class? More grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the... Okay, so what's another word for proud? Arrogant, stuck up, suchy much. You got it. People that think they better than you, and they know, what'd you say? Bougie. Yeah. So, people that don't know how to walk in love, people that don't know how to walk in forgiveness, people that are puffed up and think that they're better than anybody, everybody else, God said that he resists those kind of people. So if I was you, I wouldn't be one of them kind of people. We said it on Sunday. The reason I don't boast in myself is because I understand I am who I am by the grace of God. And when you understand that you are who you are by the grace of God, you got it. And we didn't get to where we have gotten by ourselves. But if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, because even though some of us got it together now, we didn't always have it together. Paul said, in times past. Right? But thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his grace. And thank God for his mercy, because whether you want to admit it or not, everybody has a past. And if you're like me, you'd rather leave the past in the past. Isn't that right? Let's not talk about it. Let's not bring it up. You got it? Everybody's, you know, got a closet. You got it? With the door that's got, you know, 3 deadlock bolts on it. Praise the Lord. So he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In Ephesians 2 and 8 says, So he resisteth the proud and he giveth grace to the humble. So to the degree that I understand that I will walk in humility, God, watch this now, will put a grace on me to help me in any area, in any situation that I'm going through. And what we have to understand is, if we're going to walk in humility, there's a grace that will come on you to help you, but there's also a grace that comes on you to help somebody else. Because it's the will of God that you help somebody else. Isn't that right? You're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. When you're bringing fresh air to somebody who feels like the world is closing in on them. When you start to accept somebody that everybody has rejected. And so you've got to understand that the grace that gets on you is not just for you, but it's for you to help somebody else. Does that make sense? But if you have pride, you don't see it that way. So when God starts blessing you, if you're not careful, you say, look what I have done. And that's a good way to lose everything you have. All right? All right? So number one, we said through prayer. Number one. Number two, through humility. And then number three, through faith. Number three, through faith. Ephesians 2 and 8. Very familiar passage of scripture. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So it's grace that does this, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and the rest of the scripture says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we access this grace by faith, but it is the God kind of faith. Everybody say God kind of faith. And of course, I just mentioned Mark 11:22-24, and we understand the ABCs of faith. And when we're believing for something, when we set our faith and our hearts for something, we have to operate, you know, these principles of faith. The ABCs of faith: I've got to ask, I've got to believe, I've got to confess, I've got to demonstrate, and I've got to expect. A, B, C, D. We need to add F. I need to forgive. Because what we don't understand is that faith works by love. And watch this. So my faith can't produce in the natural realm the things that I'm believing for if my heart is corrupt or if my heart has unforgiveness. You got it? And so that is why you have to quickly release people and forgive people that have done you wrong and keep on moving. Listen to me. I didn't say you had to still be their best friend. I didn't say you still had to go to lunch with them. You understand what I'm saying? But what you have to do is what the Bible says, and you have to forgive them. You got it? And so, you know, and we don't like forgiving people because we believe that when we forgive, we look at forgiving as we letting people off the hook. But the way you need to look at forgiveness is not, so when I look at forgiveness is, not only am I releasing them, you got it, but I'm releasing anything that's in my heart because, yeah, they did me wrong. They hurt me. It wasn't right. But I can't keep that stuff on the inside because God has big plans for me. And the only way he can do what he wants to do in my life is if I keep my heart right. Yeah, doesn't the writer say he that have clean hands and a pure heart? And so I've got to make sure that I keep my heart right, that I keep my heart pure. So I don't care if you cussed me out yesterday. I forgive you, and if I see you tomorrow, I say, hey, how you doing? You got it? Yeah. No, because I'm going to keep my heart right. Because watch this. Hear me now. Because see, some of y'all have a problem with this. See? I already knew. That's why I just need to sit here. But let me help you. More is at stake than your feelings. And that's what you got to understand. More is at stake than your feelings. And you have to remind yourself, God's got big plans for me. And I'm not going to mess his big plans up for me with me still being upset with somebody. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you know, if that person bothers you that bad, do what you got to do. You understand what I'm saying? Just, you know, if, you know, every time you scroll on social media, you see them. Then they got unfollow buttons. They got, you know, all kinds. Do what you got to do. Out of sight. Amen? But don't let it mess up God's big plans for your life. Because if, watch this, if I keep something in my heart and it slows down God's plans, I have just given you that kind of power in my life. And I'm not giving anybody that kind of power in my life. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. So it's access through prayer. It's access through humility. It's access through faith. It's access through our offering. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. Very familiar passage of scripture. I love this scripture. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also how, class? And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also how, class? All right? And so, if I sow sparingly, I reap sparingly. If I sow bountifully, I reap bountifully. Now watch the principle. Every man, as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? So every time you give, there should be joy. When you understand the principle and the promises of God, that when that giving is God's plan to prosper my life, and that when I release what's in my hand, God releases what's in his, and God is not trying to play with me. God is not trying to get something from me. You got it? He's trying to get something to me. Ultimately, God really wants my heart, because where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. And for a lot of us, you got it, there is a wire that is connected to our wallet or our purse and our heart. And so you got to understand that when I understand the principle and I understand the promise, that when I give cheerfully. Does that make sense? All right? Now he says, every man as he has purpose in his heart. Now, let me help you with that scripture. When I purpose in my heart to do the will of God, which is the word of God. So tithe means what? 10%, right? Now we understand Malachi says, you have robbed me in tithes and offering. So we are to give tithes and offering, right? But when it comes to the tithe, there it's already a set amount. So you can't say, well, you know, I made $2,000. You got it. What's my tithe on $2,000? Right? So you can't say, well, you know, the Bible said purpose in his heart. I'm gonna give Jesus 25 and I'll catch him on the flip side. You didn't tithe. So when he says purpose in my heart, I'm purposing in my heart to do the will of God for my life so I can see provision come to pass in my life. And watch this, beyond what I can do for myself. Does that make sense? No, you got to understand. There's something supernatural that happens, you got it, when I follow God's plan for my life. Because truth be told, somebody could not tithe, you got it, And they say, well, I make $50,000 a year. You know, I'm doing okay on $50,000 a year. And I believe you're doing okay. But see, if I take that $50,000 and release what belongs to God, I won't just be doing okay, because now he puts his super on my natural and calls me to live an abundant life. And watch this. And giving is not just about getting money back. Go to the next. Go to verse 8. And God is... Oh, that was soft, class. And God is
able.
There you go. To make all grace abound toward you, that you may always have all sufficiency in
all,
not just money. So it's not about me giving God a dollar and he giving me 10 back. It is having all sufficiency in all things. Yes, I'm going to have plenty of money to take care of my bills, but it's beyond that. Giving puts me in covenant with God. I believe he's going to keep me. I believe he's going to protect me. I believe he's going to heal me. I believe he's going to take care of my children. I believe he's going to cause favor to show up on my life. But watch this. Watch this. Some people say, well, that never happened for me. I believe it, because you never really release faith for it. You have to really release faith, because the will of God is not automatic. He needs our permission and our participation to usher his will in my life. So when I give, I on purpose say, Father, I thank you that you're raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper. And do you know, when I go on the road, there's not a time I go on the road when I don't come back, when people are always walking up to me and being an incredible blessing to me. And it's not because when I'm there, I'm teaching a lesson saying how you ought to do something. No, it ain't got nothing to do with that. Because I don't believe in playing games because God don't play games. But when you release your faith for the promised blessing that God has to raise up somebody, it could be somebody I don't know. Quit trying to count on people you know to help you do something and start counting on God to raise up somebody to be a blessing. So when I need something that come to pass in my life, I don't start saying, well, okay, I know he got it, and I know she got it. No, I don't do that. I look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, that he will open a door, that he will make a way, that God will do whatever he's got to do to make sure that it comes to pass in my life. Does that make sense? All right, so he's able to make all grace abound toward you. So we said grace is the favor of God. It is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper that you always having. It's the will of God for you to always have. I do not believe in the phrase, I'm in between blessings. I don't believe that. Because I don't believe he's a sometime kind of blessing God. I believe he's an all-the-time kind of blessing God, but I've got to work his principles to see it come to pass in my life. So I believe it's the will of God for you to always have. I do. I got introduced to the Word of Faith 20 years ago. And when I learned it was the will of God for me to always have, I made it up in my mind, I am always going to have. And 20 years later, I'm telling you, there has not been, tell me if I'm wrong, baby, but there has not been a week in our life where we did not have. Why? Because I put pressure not on people, not on my boss, not on a system. I put pressure on the Word of God. Father, your Word says that I am supposed to always have. So I command angels to go and cause it to come to me. I command, you got it, favor to show it on my behalf. And because I release faith for it, it comes to pass in my life. See, I wanted to be super blessed so I could be a super blessing. And I believe that that's why God blesses me. Because, watch this now, I didn't want to be blessed just so I could have cash, cars, and a nice crib. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff. Y'all understand that, right? But if anybody really knows me, like you get close to me and know me good enough, you'll know, yeah, he got some nice stuff, but he ain't all caught up in that stuff. My wife and I get more joy, watch this now, out of being a blessing to somebody, watch this, than we do like, oh, I got this sitting in the garage, or I got this nice house and this many square feet. We don't even talk like that. So watch this. So we own our stuff, and our stuff don't own us. Is that right? But we have stuff because God said you can. And he don't have a problem with it. Isn't that right? Yeah. That's like if you're your husband and wife, y'all have two nice cars. And then all of a sudden, ladies, it's a special anniversary, birthday, husband surprise you and give you a new car, right? And like the good husband he is. Y'all have to clap right there. You need to clap right there. Right? Now, don't pressure him. What'd I say? Don't pressure him. No. See, one thing people don't know about Lady, she never has put pressure on me. Never. Which has made me want to do things for her even the more. Because in the early days, you got it, when she'd work all week, get her check, and then bring it home, she couldn't do anything. Because that check went in the bank, and we paid all the bills, and we had enough to go to Church's Chicken on a hot date on Friday night. I had me a hot date and some fresh chicken. I was all right. We had $1.99 two-piece chicken with that honey biscuit, and that honey biscuit was the will of God. So watch this. People don't believe this. Well, no, not y'all, but some people don't. I ain't gonna say that. Some people don't believe this. Watch this. She was just as happy back then as she is right now. Because we understood that our joy never came from stuff. So when I tell you we have always been happy, we have always, been joyful. So, look, back in those days, we would just, Father, we thank you that this week all the bills are paid. It don't matter, it's only $56 left in the checking account. We just thank you that we don't owe no man nothing but love on this week. We believe next, it was $56 this week. We believe next week it'll be $86. And the next week it'll be $96. You understand what I'm saying? But we work the process. We work the process of faith. You know, I mean, and this is not a pride thing for me, but I would never ask anybody for anything. He said, well, no, that's pride. No, it's not. No, he said, prove me. He said, put me to the test and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So watch this. I'm the one that's supposed to do the believing. I'm supposed to do the speaking, and he does the manifesting. So I didn't feel like I needed to go around and say, hey, can you do this for me? And hey, can you do that? No, I'm looking under Jesus. Watch this. And you said, prove me, so I'm going to prove you. So it's Wednesday. So, okay, God, on Sunday, I gave my tithe, I gave my offering, and I even gave $5 to my man of God. So you said, prove me. You got it? So today, I'm expecting something supernatural to happen in my life just to encourage my faith and the faith of others. Angels go and bring all the money, the people, the favor, and the resources I need to bring the will of God to pass in my life. My broke days are over. I don't belong in lack land. I belong in more than enough land. Because you are the God of much more. See, I'm just telling y'all, if you're going to live an abundant life, you're going to have to start talking boldly like this. You got it? Because the enemy will try to talk you out of living the abundant life. Okay, let me help you. The enemy will talk you out of living an abundant life with just one little situation that will show up. You will be in faith. Everything will be working. Everything will be good. And the situation isn't even that big. But the enemy will come and try to magnify it and to try to get you to back up in faith and start making stuff like, I don't really need that. It ain't about what you need. And you got to stop looking at God as big. It's all right if I go this way. This ain't no my lesson, but I just figured I'd go this way. You got to stop looking at God as just being a need supplier. He's not just a need supplier. He'll supply your needs, but he wants to give you what you want. You got it? Okay. All right. Ellen, let's go. Let's get out of this. And let's go to Ephesians 3:20 and the Amplified. We're going to pick this up on Sunday. Everybody say, God wants me to be blessed. Say, God has already worked it out. So you have to understand. You got to understand. This is not something that God has to figure out how he's going to do. You got it? The giver has more trouble giving than the receiver has receiving. Let me explain that to you. God says, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly, right? What do I need? What do I need? Yeah, give me those phones and those keys and those microphones. I'll show you something. Okay. Give me some more stuff. Give me my water bottle. Give me that tissue box. Let me, Carl, give me that basket right there. Yeah. Put those on top right there. All right. Is that your Bible underneath that? It's got a handle on it. Let me get that Bible. Okay, so you're going to have to, all right. There we go. Yeah. This is how God wants you. All right. He wants you full in a place of abundance, in a place of overflow. What people normally do is, all right, come here, Ben. You know, God says, okay, Ben. What you want, all right? Now, Ben, just take the keys. Now walk away, all right? And so God says, well, I'm not going to be mad about that, but I was trying to give it all to you. Does that make sense? But we just come and we just say, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Don't you ever sing that song as long as you live. You got it? Let me bring some clarity to all my single ladies. All right? All right? You can't pray that prayer when it comes to a man. You want a man talking about, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. And then he come broke, snaggletooth, don't know the word. That's not what you want. You got it? You want a man of God that knows the word of God, that knows how to treat a lady. You got it? That got something going for him and is a Dallas Cowboy fan. Yeah. Okay. All right. We can take that last one out. All right. Okay. All right. All right. All right. So bring me my keys back, Ben. Bring me those keys back. So when he's making his promise to Abraham, which is the same promise to us, because if we be Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Am I right about it? So same promise he made to him is a promise he made to me. Blessing, I'm going to bless thee. Cursing, I'm going to multiply thee. I'll make you the head and not the tail. I know I'm kind of paraphrasing, throwing all over the place. You know, and so he makes all these promises. He says, but this is the key. He says, I'm going to bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. But watch this. Come get the keys, Ben. All right. Stay right here. So Ben got keys. But I got all this. So it's going to be hard for him to release anything because all he's got is just the keys. And God says a lot of times what happens is we just say, anyway, I just take the keys. I'm satisfied. Thank you, Lord. But God said, this is what I want you to have. So watch this. So you can be a disperser of my blessings. So now you could take something off the top. And you could take something off the top. And you take that microphone right there on the end because it's kind of hurting me right there. Yeah. And you take that water bottle right there. And mother, you get that microphone right there. And I still got a grip left over. So it's the will of God that you be a blessing. Watch this now. And you keep on being a blessing. So you can have that right there. No, you can't have all that. I know you know the principle, but I need to hold on to this. Look, sister girl, know the word. Trust me. All right? And so watch this. So and most people have problems with doing stuff like this. Because watch this, they start seeing what goes down. Not understanding. I need about 13 people to bring me something. As you're releasing stuff, God is raising up people that you might not even know to start bringing stuff to you, to be a blessing to you. Good measure. Hold on now. Press down, shaking together, and running over. He'll cause men to give into your bosom. Hold on. It's not over. Let me tell you where we mess up. Well, I'm taking all this to the bank. That's wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. We all should save some money. I save money, so I'm not saying you should give it all away. You got it? So, you know, the plan for, we have a budget, and God is at the top of our budget. So my wife and I, matter of fact, you know, I would never steal from God, but I couldn't if I want to because it already come out before I get my check. My tithes, offerings, they already come out, you know, before, you know, and we're going to pay our bills. You got it? Now, because y'all love me, so you won't take this the wrong way. Now, I take one day in the month, and I pay my bills for the whole month. So I ain't got to worry about bills until the next month. So, Pastor, what you do with the next payday? I do what I want with the next payday because it's the will of God for me to be free so I can go right back. Here you go, take one. Here you go, take one. Here you go, take that right there. You take that right there. I don't know how we're going to get everything back to everybody. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So watch this. Those that refresh others shall be refreshed. Give, and it shall be given unto you. The problem is, we have not learned that we were never designed to believe with our head, but we were designed to believe with our heart. And watch this. You, when it comes to giving, keep thinking in your head instead of thinking in your heart. Does that make sense? And so because I don't think or believe with my head, I believe with my heart. I keep releasing. Every time I turn around, God keeps coming right back. And then I keep releasing. Every time I turn around, God comes right back. We have blessed Sister Olinda at the 9. We blessed Mark at the 11. And then we was on Facebook, and we you know, everybody be talking about the lessons and stuff. And then, and so Denise said something, you know, about Flemings. And then I said, William, her husband, I said, handle your business and take your queen to Flemings. Now, he responded, consider it done. So he ain't no problem. I got her. And the lady said, well, babe, can we pay for them too? I said, we sure can. Because if you keep giving and keep giving and keep giving, it's got to come back to you, or God would not be a man of his word. All right, now if you have something that don't belong to you, bring it back. And then come get your stuff. Y'all remember boot camp, right? You got it? All right. Now unto him who, by consequence of the action of his power, is at work within us, is able to carry out. Matter of fact, I think I want message. I don't think I want amplify. I think I want message. Oh, it's 8:08. I got to go. Y'all didn't tell me it was after time. Okay, can I read the scripture, then I'll let you go? God can do anything, you know. I love it. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dream. God said, you think it up, I can make it happen. Watch this. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations, glory through all millennial. Oh, yes. So the Bible says, now go to King James. Now unto him who is, but not only is able, he's willing. Now unto him who is able to do. Now, the reason it has to have the word able in there is because you can't go to somebody and expect something for them if they're not able. You got it. Like if, you know, if somebody needed $50, you got it. But you don't have $50, then you're not able. Now, we're not knocking you. It's just saying you're not able. You got it. You're just not the right one. So now unto him that is able, but you do know that God wants to bring you to the point that anytime you run into somebody that really needs $50, not somebody trying to play you, but really needs $50, God said you just pull it out and you just be a blessing. Isn't that right? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And this scripture teaches me that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of my present thinking. So whatever I'm thinking, God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. And you start thinking a little bit more. God said, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. And then you go a little bit more, and God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. But I need your permission and your participation to usher your will in my life. So watch this. The only way to receive is to give. So when I give, there's a grace that comes on me. Does that make sense? Yeah, yeah. How much money I got? I'm about to close. 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 20, 40, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 50. I need a little bit more money. You got any cash on you? No. I ain't messing with Ben. Look, because this ain't money I'm going to give him back. I need, you got any cash on you? You got any? Nobody? Oh, yeah, because we all use Secure Give. We use Apple Pay on our phone. You know, we live in a day and time where, I need, hold on now before you start grabbing wallets, because you ain't getting this money back. So if you want to be a blessing, and you got $1, $2, $5, you ain't got to go crazy. Because if let me see, I got 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 20, 40, 5. You want some change back? Okay, okay, all right. Okay, cool. Okay, 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 okay.
Sorry, it's
a wrinkle. Oh, okay, 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 all right. Okay, all right, okay. That's good. All right, thank you. All right. Okay. No. This is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. All right, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Come here, Pat. Hurry up, Pat. Help me count this, Pat. You get the fives. Okay, all right. All right. All right. Okay, all right. Okay, 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 thank you. Okay, all right, I'm like the man of God. In the Bible said he had to tell him, stop, that's enough. Okay, all right, all right. Okay, so what we got? What we got? All right, Courtney, we got to get out of here. 20, 40, 60, 81, 20, 40, 60, 82, 20, 40, 60, 83, 20, 40, 50, 60, 37. That's 37. What's 370, 55, Pat? 425. What you got there? $442. Okay, I need $8. No. You got it? He got it. He already got it. $450. Okay. All right. If I call your name, come running, all right? I'm going to show y'all illustration. That don't mean I'm giving you all my money, all right? I just want you to, I want to show you something. Chica, run, quick, come here, hurry up. Take that and go. The Bible said that blessings will run you down and overtake you. I didn't really want to just give you 20, but I just wanted to show you. So $450. And let me just tell you what the Lord says. Things are shifting in your favor. Things are shifting in your favor. Don't you worry about the liars. Don't you worry about the haters. Things are shifting in your favor. My God. You ought to be excited like that. It's you. You ought to grab that for yourself. He's going to give me double for my trouble. He's going to give me joy forever. Watch this. You saw that illustration, right? That's how you have to expect things to come to pass in your life. You got it? Because I'm a gift, I expect things like that to happen for me. But if you don't expect it, you'll never experience it. Because you only, watch this, you only experience what you expect. And so now, watch this, now you see giving in a whole nother light. Because when I give, I'm putting a demand on the Word of God. That God has to raise up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help. Watch this. And you don't realize it, but I just set you up. Because just like you were ready to get some money and do those kind of things, you got to understand that, watch this, it's called a ricochet. And just the way you were ready to make something go happen for somebody else, God raises up people that are ready to go and make something happen for you. Does that make sense? So we don't get upset that she's the one that God chose, because God told me to do that. We don't get upset that she's the one that God blessed tonight. We rejoice with her because if God is blessing my neighbor, Jesus, he's in the neighborhood. Somebody say he's in the neighborhood. All right, now give the Lord a big hand praise. I got to let you go home. Ain't he all right? Oh, my God, my God, my God. Yes, indeed. All right, let's stand all over the building. I got to let y'all go home. You got it? All right. So don't you listen to people that lie to you and tell you giving don't work and this ain't. Don't you? I am a living witness. I went from making $6.25 an hour to making millions of dollars just by operating. I didn't read a book. You got it? You know, just by operating the principles of faith. Watch this. And releasing my faith for the promised blessing. Like when I read this, I expected it to happen. I'm like, no, it has to happen for me. You got it? If there was a day where I was low, I was like, oh, this ain't right. No. This ain't right. God, you said in your word, remind me of your marriage. Let us reason together. You said you'd open the windows of heaven. You said, I'm getting excited. And that's exactly how you have to do it. So she could, things are shifting in your favor, daughter. Things are shifting in your favor. So don't just stop there, but you expect much more. You say, Father, I thank you for this. I received this. I'm going to give the tithe back to you. Watch it. But it's not over. I expect much more. So God raised up somebody. Watch this. On this side of town, you got to believe he's going to raise somebody up on the other side of town and on the other side of the country to be a blessing for you. Now, let me just tell you, listen, you just got to understand something. When it's your time, it's your time. Ain't nothing, nobody, people can talk about you, they can lie on you, they can get upset, but when it's your time, it's your time. All right, I got to let y'all go home. It's 8:19. Did y'all get blessed on?